Today we have an exciting and informative chapter from the Torah. And I really want to share with you my heart. This is very important Torah portion for me, to me. And I want to show you what the Lord showed me these days. It's a very important part. So let us open Genesis chapter 12 and let us read from the Torah portion Lech Lecha. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1 through 3. And we will read two passages today, Genesis 12 and also Genesis 28, and look at the similarities between the two. So the first, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Yeah, I can hear old school. I can hear the pages. Then Adonai said to Abram, "Get going out from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great so that you may be a blessing. My desire is to bless those who bless you. But whoever curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Such a promise from the Lord. And now let us read Genesis chapter 28. Start with verse 10 through verse 15. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking Bibles with you. It's so great. So here's about Jacob. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. And if you read carefully, this was the same, very same place where Abraham was called to leave from Haran. So now Jacob called to Haran. He happened upon a certain place and spent the night there, for the sun had set. So he took a beautiful pillar. No? He rented a hotel or no? Sheraton. No. He took one of the stones from the place and put it by his head and lay down in that place. He dreamed. All of a sudden, there was a stairway set up on the earth and its top reaching to the heavens, and behold, angels of God going up and down on it. Surprisingly, Adonai was standing on top of it, and he said, "I'm Adonai, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your seed. Your seed will be as the dust of the land, and you will burst forth to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed, and in your seed. Behold, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not forsake you until I have done what I promised you." Amen. What the wonderful places of scriptures. We see that these two passages from scripture seems to say the same thing. The same, literally the same. The Lord calls Abraham and then his grandson Jacob to go out of the old and familiar in their lives to the future. It was the time of their calling. To the promised land and new blessing. I have a question. Do you think Jacob could become Israel and receive the Lord's promise if he stayed in his home with his family? What do you think? I would think no. Let's remember that all his life, he was a homebody or homeboy who lived in the tents of his parents. Unlike his brother Esau, who was a hunter and traveler. And let us read it in Genesis 25:27. When the boys grew up, Esau became a man knowledgeable in hunting and outdoorsman, while Jacob was a mild man remaining in tents. I'm glad our Bibles are similar. So he was a homebody. He liked to be home with his parents. It was his life. He used to live with his family. To go somewhere, it was not his thing. He didn't like to take cruise and to go somewhere. He liked to be with his family. So, only when Jacob left his ordinary life, why I read it? Because it was a huge step for him to take. But only when Jacob left his ordinary life, the Lord himself appeared to him in a dream and gave him extraordinary and wondrous promises. Until then, the Lord gave these promises to Abraham, then to Isaac. And only now God speaks with Jacob and gives him promises about his own future, his offspring and protection. This was the time for Jacob. But he needs to enter his own calling from the Lord. Can you see it here? It is so important. Yeah, we can rely on somebody's blessings, on somebody's promises, but we need to enter our own promises from the Lord. It is very important for us. Amen. I don't know why it's so quiet here. Something said, or is it something difficult here? I find it fascinating. He found a blessing for himself. By his obedience, by his faith, he opened the door for the Lord to bless his life. Not only the life of Abraham and Isaac, but now it is his time to receive the promises from the Lord in his own life, on his own children. What a wonderful place. A fundamental, exciting lesson for you and me is that the Lord will be with us and provide everything when he leads us. Everything. He's with us. He's with us. It is common for us to get used to comfort and hold on to our own lives. It's common to us. It's a good thing. But this is a very important part. Change is not always a bad thing and is often necessary in order for you and me to get something better. Change is not always a bad thing. Not always good, but not always bad. Not always bad. The essence of faith in a few words. Matthew 16:24. I want to read it for you. Please trust me. Then Yeshua said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to follow after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross," which means his calling. Cross is his calling. "And follow me." So, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Our task is not to die. It is not our task. Our task is to follow Yeshua, obey his voice, and obey his guidance. We need to live for Yeshua. To die, it's easy, but to live for him, this takes courage. Amen. Yeah. Abraham and Jacob needed to leave the old and familiar past to enter a new life filled with trust in the Lord. Although they were far from being perfect, they were ready to follow God. They made mistakes, but they followed the Lord. We have to see the Lord when we don't recognize him. We need to see him. So, and now I want to share my heart with you. I want to talk about a very relevant topic today. Trials and difficulties in your life do not mean that God is not with you and you are outside of his will. Do not mean. You must realize that when you pray for the Lord to lead and guide you, and when the answer comes, it is often not what you expect. Amen. Sometimes you pray for something, but when the answer comes, you may say, Lord, please, not again, not this. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and verse 9. It is an answer for us. If you're going through something and you don't understand what's going on around you, this is an answer for you. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. And I love this place. It is a declaration of Adonai. So the Lord declared it into our lives. For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I would add here, my plans than your plans, my expectations than your expectations, my dreams than your dreams, my ideas than your ideas, my goals than your goals. And English is a difficult language. We can go forward and forward. But the Lord is much higher. And we need to trust Him. If something going on, some changes come into our lives, it's not always a bad thing. It can be part of the calling from the Lord into our lives. When he lived with his family, Jacob loved the Lord and wished with all his heart to fulfill his will. Jacob prayed that the prophecy that was given to his mother would be fulfilled in his own life. He wanted to fulfill his part of the spiritual legacy of his father and grandfather and prayed passionately for this. He was in fire to fulfill the Lord's will. It was in his heart. But I think, Jacob could not imagine what kind of answer would come to his prayers. That he would have to leave everything and go through so many trials in order to receive what God had promised to him. And I can tell you my life, many things I prayed for. If I would know what would happen in future, I would not pray for that. For sure. But now I'm happy about these prayers. After some time. I can see somebody smiling here, so can you rely to yourself or not? Or maybe I'm different. Yeah, possible. Most likely, if he knew the cost of his calling, Jacob would have been afraid to ask the Lord for an answer and would have remained loving the Lord but playing video games in his parents' tent until his last days. What do you think? Yes, Lord, but I'm busy right now. But because the Lord brought Jacob out of his comfort zone, answered Jacob's prayer as he wanted and not as Jacob imagined, Jacob became strong, wise, the patriarch of his people. He became Israel. Only because he allowed the Lord to lead him. Genesis 32, verse 29. Let us open Genesis 32, verse 29. An amazing place of scriptures. Genesis 32, 29. Then the Lord said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but rather Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man, and you have overcome. It takes years to learn how to be strong in the Lord. It takes all life to learn. There are various interpretations of the name Israel. Commentators do not agree on the literal interpretation, but one of the most common is Israel. Is to rule, to have power, to to prevail over. Jacob became Israel. He became strong in the Lord. So now let us read about what happened in Jacob's life, what changed him. Genesis 28, verse 10, the beginning of today's Torah portion. Genesis 28, 10. It's a very small sentence, but it is so informative for us. This is the key for today, key sentence for us, key verse. Genesis 28, 10. Then Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. There are several origins of the name Beersheba, or in Hebrew, Beersheva. Beersheva is the name of the city in Israel, Beersheva. Or in English, Beersheba. Ber is the Hebrew word for well, and the Hebrew word for shuvah, oath. Because of the oath of Abraham and Abimelech, it can be called well of the oath. Also, some Bible commentators believed that the name derives from the Hebrew word sheva, Beersheva. Sheva means, who knows, seven. Seven. Simple. And also could mean seven wells dug by Isaac. From the Hebrew words ber, well, and sheva, seven. I think this is a fascinating and prophetic interpretation of the name of this place. Literally, the place of the seven wells, which is interesting. So Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran, and the biblical place name Haran, from Hebrew harar, can mean parched or a dry place, a place burned by the sun. So this is the city that lay on the northeast of Mesopotamia between the rivers Euphrates and Hawor. And you know that from the scriptures, Terah, Abraham's father, died and was buried in this place, and Laban, Rebekah's brother, lived in it. So, now, when we understand the meaning of these names, an interesting prophetic picture opens up before us. Beersheba, the place of seven wells. And you know from the scriptures, the number seven is the number of spiritual perfection. This number indicates completeness and perfection in the Bible. Menorah, seven lights of the Lord, fullness of the Holy Spirit, seven, 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 seven. Somebody calls seven the God's number, number of fullness. And also we know in the scriptures that Yeshua compared the well of living water to the Holy Spirit. So, this place can symbolize the presence of the Holy Spirit. Seven wells, an abundance of water, life in rest, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And now, Jacob leaves Beersheba and goes to Haran, to a dry place, a place burned by the sun in order to be prepared to serve the Lord and become the patriarch of the Jewish people to become Israel. Wow. Jacob leaves the place of rest and abundance of his childhood, the place of his preparation, and goes, led by the Lord, to a challenging area where trials and struggle awaited him, and it was from the Lord in his life. Let's say amen. But it is at this time that the Lord blesses him most of all. Not in Beersheba, but in Haran. The Lord blessed Jacob. The most difficult years of Jacob's life were not fruitless. He entered his calling, got married, had children, and became a patriarch. And all this happened in the most challenging times for him, when he was exiled in Haran, a dry and parched place. Can you imagine? It was an answer for his prayer. Not as he expected, but as the Lord prepared for him. When I pondered why Jacob's children were born in a foreign land, I concluded for myself that this challenging time was the most productive in his life, in life of Jacob. Jacob sought God more than anything in his life and needed his protection because he had no protector but the Lord alone. Nobody else, only the Lord. He had to trust the Lord. He had no choice, only to trust the Lord. Do you remember this wonderful family story? I mean, nice family story. His father-in-law did not love and appreciate Jacob, wanted to cash in on him. Do you remember? Laban saw that the Lord was blessing Jacob in everything, and he was smart. He wanted to be rich. And he decided to use Jacob and his relationship with God, his gifts, to get rich himself. And remember that Jacob worked on his beloved wife Rachel for 14 years. Wow. That was the love. 14 years. I'm not sure. No. I would work 24 years. Yeah. But, wow. 14 years. And he actually got two wives on the price of one. Yeah. Family story. So he had no hope, no help. Nobody was there to help him, to protect him, and he had to trust the Lord. And this year was the most productive and blessed years in his life, in the life of Jacob. Despite all the trials, this was the most fruitful time when he entered his calling. And indeed, Jacob was the prophetic example of the coming Messiah. Let us open New Testament, Brit Hadashah, and let us read together Luke chapter 3. Let us remember the example that our Lord and teacher Yeshua left us, our Rabbi, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. Book of Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and verse 22. Luke 3, 21, 22. Now, when all the people were immersed, Yeshua also was immersed. He received tefillah, water immersion, baptism. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Ruach HaKodesh came down upon him in bodily form like dove. And from out of heaven came a voice, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." What an interesting place from the Bible. Lord Yeshua is immersed in Jordan, and the Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. It was the day that Yeshua entered his calling, his ministry, the ministry of the Redeemer of humankind. This was his day. In verse 22, our Heavenly Father revealed His Son to us. He said, "This is my Son. Listen to Him. He is my Son." It is fascinating that Yeshua was by the river at the time, the water, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, filled with the glory of God. This was His moment. Water is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Everything's here. But do you remember that right after that this event, the Holy Spirit leads him to the... Five people knows. Good for you. To the desert. Let us open next chapter, chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and also 13 and 14. So, Yeshua, now filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Ruach in the wilderness. for 40 days, being tested by Satan. Now he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he was hungry. And verses 13 and 14. I don't want to read all the place, but you can read it at home. And when Satan had completed every test, he departed from him until another occasion. And verse 14. Yeshua returned in the power of the Ruach to the Galilee, and news about him went out through all the surrounding region. So, let's pay attention to two verses. Verse 1. Yeshua now filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Let's say filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. So he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He received immersion in the Holy Spirit. And verse 14. After 40 days, Yeshua returned in the power of the Ruach. Interesting. He went filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and came back from the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. It is very important to know that the wilderness of trials was the first place where the Holy Spirit led him in order for him to acquire the power of the Spirit. It was necessary for him. And I have a question. If this happened in the life of our Lord, then why should we be surprised and afraid when we go through the wilderness of trials in our lives? It is the same. And if you pray, Lord, lead me, think twice. And pray. 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 It is a beautiful life to be led by the Lord, to experience His presence, to walk in His Spirit. It is exciting life. The Lord wants to do good for us. But sometimes we need to go through such difficult times. So we can learn an important lesson from this story. And it's very important. And it's in my heart I want to share with you. Each period in our lives bears fruit, each period, good time or difficult time. And the time of the wilderness is a necessary time for each of us, even when we don't realize it, but it's a necessary time. Therefore, when we pray and ask the Lord to lead us, direct our lives, move through us, we should not be surprised or indignant when His answer is not what we expected. Therefore, if you go through trials and battles in your life, please remember, this does not mean that the Lord is not with you, because He is with you. It can mean that you are in His perfect will right there, and that He makes you into Israel. It can mean that you are in His perfect will. And here's the small formula for us. If you wait for better times to live and rejoice in God, you can wait for a very long time. You need to rejoice and serve and follow the Lord right now. Right now. Today. Encourage yourself, encourage your husband, your wife, your children to serve the Lord today. Do not wait for better times. Who knows how long it will take? Serve today. Amen. In conclusion, I want to read one essential passage from the New Testament. This is an instruction and warning for us about behaving in the times of difficult trials. So, it is from the Lord for us how to behave during these times. Let's open John chapter 15, verse 1 through verse 6. And this is not a popular place of scripture, but I will be old-fashioned today. I'm so sorry. I will read how it is in the scriptures right now. I won't change it. So be prepared, please. I love you so much, so I need to read it for you. John 15, 1 through 6. And think about it. It's so serious. It is so important to remember. joyful, but very important. John 15, 1 through 6. I am the true vine. Vine, it is Yeshua, Yeshua's words. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he trims. Sometimes you want to pray, Lord, leave me alone. I don't want to go through this. Please, be merciful. But he is a merciful God. He knows what he's doing. He trims so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. The branch cannot itself produce fruit unless it abides on the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and is dried up. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. I can tell you, all of us, all of people of God, every believer, everyone, all will pass the time of purification when the Lord trims his vineyard. It is a part of our life as believers. We will go through purification time. It is a promise from the Lord. Actually, I believe this is the time right now around the world, everywhere, in America, in Ukraine. What a time we live in. His vineyard is you and me, his community, community of believers. And in order for the vineyard to bear fruit, it must be cleansed once a year, trimmed of unhealthy branches that do not bear fruit. A not pruned vineyard becomes wild and no longer bears fruit, leaving only leaves without grapes if it's not trimmed. So, all believers go through times when the Lord is working on us, leading us through the desert in our lives. Everyone will be circumcised and cleansed. But the problem is that some will pass the test and remain on the vine. And the vine is Yeshua and his will, and will bear even more fruit. And other people will not pass the test and will be cut off from vine and thrown out, according to scriptures. You know that when the branch is cut off from the vineyard, it does not immediately dry out. If you know this, how it goes, for sometimes it's green, it's beautiful, everything's fine with it. For sometimes it may seem that everything is fine, nothing happens. But the only condition in order not to perish is to cleave to the vine, Yeshua, and his juice, the Holy Spirit. Hold on, brothers and sisters. Hold on. I remember experience when I was a child. We had trams in our city, Nikolaev, in Ukraine, and we liked to jump on the train. In the end of the train, we had some things. And you know, when you jump on it, the game starts. Game name, Hold On. Hold on. Hold on. Do not grumble. Do not grow cold. Do not run away from the call of God. Do not run away. Do not leave the community of the Lord. If the Lord calls you, be in the community of the Lord. Stay. Hold on. My opinion is that we all live in the time when the Lord prunes his vineyard, removes barren and dry branches from our hearts, from our lives, cleans up the excess that takes away the juice and does not bear fruit. So, if the Lord prunes you, praise him. He's a great Lord. Each of us needs to stay on the vine, remain in faith, and not exchange eternal life for an easy path. Remember that. And remember, the Lord loves you so much. He cares about you. He will guide you through all the times. He is with you. As he was with Jacob. He had difficult times, but at the end of the day, he is the patriarch of our people. And we pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wow. And you know what? Jacob was happy to leave everything. He was happy to serve God in his life. And he was a happy person. And even his father-in-law tried to take everything from him in the end of the day. Do you remember what happened? Yeah. He was the son of his father Isaac and grandson of his father Abraham. He was blessed from all the parts. He had everything. The Lord blessed him. So, hallelujah. Therefore, do not give up and remember that if there are trials and difficulties in your life, this does not mean that God is not with you and you are outside of His will. This means that God is near and will not leave you. He makes you a person who will bear much fruit in His kingdom. Amen. I would like to invite my wife Ina to participate with me. And we have, can we just sit for a moment? We have a very important announcement for us today.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Dear congregation, I would like to ask you to pray and to think about a very important thing. We are thinking and praying about reopening of Shabbat school. And it is a very beautiful, blessed, responsible, and important ministry. And if it is something that is on your heart and you would like to participate, please let me know. And I would like to have meeting with people who wants to participate on last Saturday of November. It will be November 27th. After the service. So please pray about it and let me know, because a lot will depend on how we will step in, what we can do. So please pray about it and think about it. I think it's very important, and it will be a blessing for our children. I think children's ministry is very, very important. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So let us stand together and let us pray. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. So let us pray. Yivarecha Adonai veishmerecha, yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.